Stay calm, don't panic. You got this.
Hey guys, welcome to the podcast this week. This is Chris Roby sitting here with Carly Duke. We are in week number three of our season. We've covered the power of the check-in on our first week, and we covered how we managed stress last week, which was a great interview with Ricky Lewis. And this week, we are covering what we feel like is our most, maybe not obscure, but maybe abstract topic.
That's so true. Mm-hmm. It's a great topic, but it was one that it's kind of hard to wrap up in a bow and a nice stress is easy. The check-in, mm-hmm. not that it's easy to talk about.
Yeah, but it's pretty clear-cut.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And this one was a little more, we threw this topic at Sarah Brooks and we're like, yeah, we don't exactly know what we want. Go for it.
Yeah. Well, and Sarah, if you've listened to our podcast very long, Sarah was our very, very first interview. Literally, as I remember, we didn't know how to set up our equipment, and it was just a big mess. And she was
she was patient with us,
very patient and flexible. And so, as we looked at this topic, we're like, we need someone patient and flexible to look at this topic. And Sarah Brooks was our person. Sarah has a phenomenal blog called Life As of Late. She's a really brilliant writer, mm-hmm. Very smart, and the. Big reason why I wanted to talk to her is she works with teenagers a lot and has great relationships with teenagers and has a lot of good things to say about that.
Right. And I also love that her perspective is a little different because she works with teenagers, but she's still a mom of littles. Mm-hmm. She has three little boys, but isn't a mom of teens yet. Mm-hmm. And so just has this unique perspective of being younger and still working with teens and talking to them, and they trust her and open up to her. And so the things that she can see from teenagers are things that maybe a parent might be a little more jaded to at this point.
Right. And so that's reflective in this interview for sure, mm-hmm. that when she talks about teenagers, she comes at it from a standpoint of like the things that they have that she's really fascinated by, like just these years of being a teenager or being an adolescent tend to be viewed negatively by the adults in this world, but she sees it from a different way. Like there's all these different things that they actually have great opportunities to do, and that they're positioned uniquely to affect change and to explore and to build relationships and to be mm-hmm. honest, all these great things she talks about. So I was so thrilled to have this interview with her because I think as adults, we need to find ways to see the opportunities that students have now and not necessarily what they're going to be, but what do they have right now that could really do a lot of great things and things we can remind them, like, you can actually do this with what you have now.
Exactly. And so we hope you enjoy this interview. She says some great things that even we can, as adults, take away from teenagers, things that we can learn. She had me thinking, man, I need to be more intentional about these things because they don't come as naturally as they did when I was a teenager. And so we hope that you enjoy this, that you get something out of it, and that you gain new perspective today from Sarah Brooks.
Hey, everybody. I'm here with Sarah Brooks, our great friend, who was our very first interview.
Yes. Only gone downhill from there.
I know. I tell you. Yeah. But she talked about social media last time. Mm-hmm. And as we built this this season, you know, this week three of our curriculum is about resources. And going into this, we knew this would be probably one of our more abstract topics. Mm-hmm. And so as I was prepping Sarah for this, she was like, okay, give me a little bit of time. Let me think through this.
Special thanks for the abstract
topic. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but we know she can handle it, and she has some great things to say about this. And as we were kind of getting started with this, Sarah, we were talking about how oftentimes when we approach teenagers, we're talking about all the things that they could change or who they're becoming, mm-hmm. who they're going to be, kind of all future stuff, but not necessarily what's going on right now. What do you got right now? What's your strength? What do you bring to the table that you don't have to work at it?
Yeah.
And how amazing that is to talk through. So that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah. You know, when you gave me this topic of just the resources that teenagers inherently have within them, I started thinking, you know, I do talk about social media to parents and to schools and whatnot. And oftentimes they bring me in to talk about it from a scary place. You know, mm-hmm. they're like, tell them all the dangers of this and tell them how they could get kidnapped and all of this. And those are valid, obviously. Mm-hmm. You don't want to get kidnapped. But it's not too often that we sit down and talk about the positives of it. Mm-hmm. And that's what, as soon as you gave me this topic, I'm like, you know what we should do is just talk about how teenagers are awesome. Mm-hmm. What are the things that we can learn from teenagers? Mm-hmm. Because they really are awesome.
Yeah.
Not when they get older, not when they learn more, not when they hone their skills, but right now. Mm-hmm. They have so many resources available to them, and I'm not sure we sit down just to talk about it and encourage them. So that's what I hope we can do today a little
right.
bit.
Right. Yeah, and the resource we really want to focus on today is courage.
Yep.
On this idea of what their courage can bring them and what they bring to the table because of their willingness to do things, to face things, to explored all these kind of things. So mm-hmm. we're going to walk through that today. So first of all, let's talk through the idea that teenagers can have the courage to explore and be uniquely who they are.
Yes. So one thing I love about teenagers is that they have the ability to experiment with who they want to be. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're an adult, you kind of get trapped into this role where it's hard to break out of. You get into a career path and you get down into your family and you get kind of trapped in this role. Trapped is a bad word, but teenagers, yeah. there's no, it can be. There's no other time in life, like when you're a teenager, that you have the resources and the opportunities to explore who you want to be, mm-hmm. whether that's through sports or music or dance or graphic art or whatever it is. They have all these opportunities to try on different personas, mm-hmm. and they have the freedom to do so. You know, they don't have the financial responsibility of, well, I've got to stick with this because it's paying the bills.
Right.
I mean, they get to try on all these different things. So you want to try volleyball? Awesome. You want to be in the chess club? Awesome. Mm-hmm. If that doesn't work, move on to something else. It's just a really cool time when they get to kind of figure out who they want to be, mm-hmm. and who they want to be now and who they want to be in the future. And I think that is, you know, you think about like if a 16-year-old girl dyes her hair blue or something crazy, mm-hmm. people look at her and they think, that's fun. You do you, teenagers, right?
Right.
If a 50-year-old man did that, you'd be like, who hurt you? Right. You know? I mean, honestly, like they get to make these crazy changes and everyone's just like, oh, that's so nice that you get to do that. That's part of being a teenager.
Yeah.
They have the freedom to figure out who they are and who they want to be. And I think that is a huge resource for them.
Well, and I think too, for adults to not be threatened by that, because I think a lot of times, you know, we as adults, we're so focused on their future and, you know, maybe college or you know, like, hey, you're 18, you just dyed your hair blue.
Right. You're never going to get a job.
Yeah, well, you're never going to get a job, you know, and not and try to take some of the burden off of our shoulders to not freak out about those things. That's just part of the gig.
It is. And yeah. when else in life are they going to be able to do that, uh-huh. really?
Right.
If they're not making horrible choices that are going to change their lives forever, then let them do it. Mm-hmm. Let them try all these different things, because there's never a time in their life again when they'll be able to do that.
Right.
With the freedom that they have.
Right. So they can explore and be who they are, but they also have the courage to explore their relationships and make different kinds of friends. Talk about that a little bit.
So if you think about a high school cafeteria, you have like 30 solid minutes of people from all stages. I mean, all types of life, all races, all religions, all interests, all the only common denominator is that they fit within a certain age and that they need to be educated. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing yeah. bringing them to that cafeteria. Mm-hmm. And that is an incredible opportunity for teenagers to build, first off, to muster the courage to approach someone who has no commonality with you other than their age, mm-hmm. And build a relationship that way. But also, they have the ability to develop the most diverse friend groups. Mm-hmm. That I don't know that we have as adults. Unless you're sitting in the international terminal at DFW Airport, there's no other time as an adult that you're going to be surrounded by that much diversity. I mean, you get into your job, you have the same coworkers you see 5 days a week. You have the same parents on the kids' soccer team that you're next to all season. You kind of get into these friend groups, and without intentionality, that's who you surround yourself with. But mm-hmm. teenagers, man, they have the sky is the limit on the types of people they can be friends with.
Mm-hmm.
And I want so badly for them to take advantage of that and for us to encourage them in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're never going to be surrounded by this much diversity again.
Right.
Every day for 30 minutes while mm-hmm. you're eating. It's right. like prime time mm-hmm. to learn from people and to develop these relationships. And I just think it's a cool environment that I'm jealous of, frankly. Right. I mean.
Right. Well, and the greater diversity of friends that they make now will inform, you know, these are probably the kind of people I'd want to stick around when I get older, and maybe some of the ones I wouldn't want to.
Exactly. yeah.
And not necessarily be threatened by that. You know, we want our kids to have good, healthy relationships, but they're probably going to have some bad ones along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of figuring it out.
Yeah. I mean, they're figuring out who they are and the type of friends they want to be and the mm-hmm. type of friends they want to be around. Something I think is incredible about teenagers today, growing up today, is that they have the most connectedness of anyone in the history of the world. Yeah. And here's what I mean. Not only can they figure out who they want to be and what, you know, they find where their passions line up with their talents. They mm-hmm. get to do that in the teen years. They also can connect with like-minded students in a way that we've never been able to before.
Hmm.
So if they are really into gaming or, you know, I mean, fill in the blank with some passion of theirs, they can go online, and whether it's through Facebook groups or Instagram hashtags or gaming forums or YouTube channels, they can connect with like-minded kids
mm-hmm.
to the nth degree.
Mm-hmm.
We've never been able to do that before.
Right.
And so they are able to not just see the diversity in the school cafeteria, but they're able to also, on the flip side, connect to such a degree that you can find someone in Germany mm-hmm. who is just as into gaming as you are. Mm-hmm. And it's just a really neat, I don't know. It's mm-hmm. I didn't grow up like that.
Right, right. Well, I think it's as adults, we get the chance to, you know, even if they find something that's real niche-y,
yes,
to help them find community within that.
Yeah,
niche.
It's there. You yeah. just have to look for it.
Yeah, yeah. It's
and the thing about teenagers that's awesome is they do. They just mm-hmm. stroll into that and they're like, all right, let's do this. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't right. have the hesitations of adults.
Right, right.
They just get in there and figure it out. And
right. So with these relationships, they also have courage to change the world, to affect change, and not only in their communities, but they see with my passions and my skills and talents, there's something I can do something big with this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times we talk about teenagers, oh, the world revolves around them. They just think the world, and they do think that,
mm-hmm.
but in some ways that is great because mm-hmm. they are also agents of change.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a naivety.
I'll allow it.
Okay. that comes with being young, where they're not jaded by the can'ts and the won'ts.
Mm-hmm.
They see the world more optimistically. They're not brought down by the constraints of, you know, the financial and the social and the career restraints that adults have.
Mm-hmm.
So they see something they don't like and they want to change it.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it. You know, they're fearless. And part of it is because their brain isn't developed enough to be like, that's a poor decision. so that can be bad. But at the same time, they're fearless and they see something they don't like and they go to change it. Whether it's, you know, starting a GoFundMe for a student at school who was injured, or, you know, starting a website to raise awareness of issues in our country or abroad, or just using their social media to be positive instead of cruel.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's that, whether they change the world in that way or change the world at home.
Mm-hmm.
They see things they don't like in their families. They see things that work or don't work, and that's the issue. And they want to change that, and they have the courage just built in them. They have the optimism to believe they can do it. Mm-hmm. I am the change mm-hmm. I want to see. And I think we can learn a lot from that. Mm-hmm. I think in some ways they stand up bigger and faster to think to injustice than adults do.
Right. And I think too, you know, as they identify these issues as adults, we can say, let's do something about it.
Yeah.
Like
yes,
like
let's figure out how we can
let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And even if they've not quite identified the courage to do that yet, to be able to bring that out in them and say, you actually, you have what it takes to do this.
Yes. Yes. You know? And on the flip side, they say, let's end world hunger. You know, I have teen friends that do that. They're like, we can do this. And mm-hmm. and part of me is like, well, the government will, you know, I mean, in my mind, I'm coming up with all the reasons that's not actually going to work. Mm-hmm. Why is that my response? Why can't my response be, oh, my word, yes. Mm-hmm. That is spot on. Let's mm-hmm. do something about it.
Show me how to do it.
Show me how to do it. Mm-hmm. I think we can learn a lot from just their courage to want to change things, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it stands in the face of the cynicism of being an adult sometimes.
Exactly.
We've seen yes. too much. We've mm-hmm. heard too much. It's always going to work out this way. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm approaching 40 and I'm like, this is real. Like,
yes.
like, I never thought that I would feel that way, but being around teenagers, makes me realize, no, that's cynicism. That's not actually what's true.
Right. Yeah. We can buck injustice. Mm-hmm. We can break family addiction. We can do these things, you mm-hmm. know?
Well, and with so finally, you know, with this courage to change the world, I love this last point that you have that that teenagers have the courage to be honest about what's going
yes.
on.
And brutally.
Yeah,
brutally
honest. And this is tough for adults to face sometimes. Sometimes we're off put by this,
mm-hmm.
but it takes a tremendous amount of courage to be honest and tell things. This is how this is.
I went on a high school retreat a couple weekends ago, and I saw in the mirror of my car a chin hair that was rogue that didn't need to be there. And Chris, I freaked out about it because uh-huh. I was like, if anyone is going to tell me about this chin hair, it is the 150 teenagers in this room. They are brutally honest. Uh-huh. And in some ways, it freaks us out because we're mm-hmm. like, oh, sweetie, we need to be more politically correct than that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a lot to be learned from that as well. You know, how often do we as adults not stand up for what we believe in, or we're just not honest about our feelings because we're, oh, I don't want to step on toes. And there's truth in that. You mm-hmm. don't want to just, you know, mull over people with your thoughts and feelings. But at the same time, there's something oddly refreshing about teenagers. You know exactly where they stand mm-hmm. at all times. Mm-hmm. Oh, you didn't like the dinner I made? Sweet. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, they're so brutally honest. Will that need to be honed? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something so refreshing about this is who I am, and I am super confident in that.
Yeah.
Whether they are or not, that's how they come across.
Right.
And I think there's something to be said for that. I think we need to celebrate honesty when it's genuine like that.
So Carly, I always like talking to Sarah. She's a great friend of Teen Life's and really is a huge supporter of what we do locally, but I think speaks our language when it comes to teenagers.
Yes.
Her perspective and just when you see her around students and the response she gets, you can tell there's something about the way she thinks about teenagers and relates to teenagers that we need to take notice of. And so as we were kind of going emailing back and forth about this, this interview actually took a different turn than I originally had thought. We thought we would talk through kind of what our week three content is, and we'll talk about that in just a second. But she came back with this idea of, I want to talk about how teenagers are uniquely positioned, how they are with no changes at all,
mm-hmm.
how their courage, what that brings to the table. And that was really exciting to me to read that. I'm like, yes, that is what we need to talk about as we do this. So just to kind of pull back the curtain for the listener, there are times we go into this not fully knowing how this will turn out, but typically our guests know the best
yes.
on this. But this particular week, when we talk about courage, what we're really talking about is resources. Like, what do we have?
Mm-hmm.
And this topic is reflective of our week three. We talk through not only courage, but we also talk about capability. We talk about connectedness, and we talk about kind of how much we matter. How much we count. And, what we do is we have students shade in these little gingerbread figures, and they shade in how much they feel like they have of each one of these things. And it's always a fascinating conversation, because it forces students to think about what do I have right now without mm-hmm. having to train for it or having to work on it. And students have more than they think.
Exactly. I had a first in group last week, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, kind of going back even to, as Sarah said, sometimes they are just brutally honest and will say whatever comes to mind. And this wasn't rude, but when I asked them to film their gingerbread people, one boy goes, I don't want to do that. And I was like, why? He was like, I hate gingerbread. And I go, what? And he's like, the cookie. I hate gingerbread cookies. And I was like, that's not the point of what we're trying to do. Just tell me how much courage you have. Like, that's all I want to know.
Yeah.
But I think she made so many great points of strengths that teenagers have. And it's so easy for teenagers, I think, sometimes she talks about that they have this confidence, or at least that's what they portray.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important. Of many times they do have confidence, but a lot of times I think they think they're faking it. Of, I'm going to put this out there. And then when you really talk to them about it, there's a layer of insecurity beyond that. And so it's so neat that we can point out, no, these are resources that you have.
Mm-hmm.
You already have these inside of you. Let's figure out how to draw them out. Let's figure out how to use those and encourage you to have more courage, but you already have that inside of you. These are things that every teenager has. They have the capability to do what life throws at them.
Mm-hmm.
They have the courage to face challenges. We just have to kind of pull that out of them sometimes.
Well, and speaking about courage, she really covers these four topics really well. And I think that very first one is the one that tends to be the most off-putting for adults, is this the idea of I'm going to explore. And I'm gonna try on some new skins, and oftentimes these new skins I try on probably won't be the ones you would have chosen, mom and dad. and that's a hard thing to see, especially if they do things we maybe disagree with, and not necessarily that we as adults have to be okay with all their decisions, but at a base level understanding, this is the task that they have been given as adolescents, is that you're tasked with figuring out who you're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, they're asking that question, who am I? We talked about this a lot in our podcast. And for adults that I talk to, a lot of parents that I talk to that are really stressed about what their kids are doing. I don't have kids this age, and none of us do. Sarah doesn't, Ricky doesn't. but just to remind and to reassure those who work with teenagers, this is what they should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And as adults trying to figure out how can we best support them, not always say this is just okay, but also understand this is part of what we signed up for here.
Exactly. And it's what we did when we were teenagers. Mm-hmm. If you think back to when you were a teenager, you were trying to figure out who you were. And I think it's easy to lose sight of that. But I kind of wondered how many of you cringe when she said, if they aren't making horrible choices that are going to change their life, let them do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting there going, like, bold statement, Sarah. Yeah. But I mean, it's true. If it's their hair color, it'll grow out. Mm-hmm. The color will fade. Now, it's different if they're going to make a life choice that's going to completely change the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. But there are some things, and maybe as parents or as helpers, we have to ask, is this going to matter a month from now?
Mm-hmm.
If not, maybe you let them make that choice and see how it turns out. And then maybe they come back and be like, okay, I shouldn't have dyed my hair purple.
Mm-hmm.
It was silly. It looks stupid now. Can we cut it?
Right.
And then you have that conversation, but they have to figure that out for themselves. And that exploring piece is so important and completely shapes into college, into adulthood. These are things that choices that they need to be making. And if they're small choices that they can make in your home, rather than going off to college and trying to make decisions for the first time on their own, I feel like that's a good place to do it if they have a safe environment where they have some backup as well.
The one that I just hadn't really thought about before was about the courage to make friends, about the possibilities for a teenager to have a very diverse friend group. Are there. And that's probably not going to exist in any other time of life where you really have a wide variety of people that you can be friends with, that you can explore culturally. And, you know, you can, you know, in a public school lunchroom, that's kind of what she talked about. You got everyone who's there, and you really have an opportunity as a teenager to go and figure out who you're going to be friends with, and maybe be friends with someone that you would never be friends with otherwise. Because I know the older that I get, the less people I allow in that area. And part of this, I just don't have time and energy to maintain 1,000 friendships.
Exactly.
But teenagers do. Mm-hmm. And that's a really cool and unique position to be in.
I was going to say, when I was a teenager, I mean, I probably had 30, 40 people that I would call friends, mm-hmm. good friends. That's exhausting. Yeah. That sounds exhausting uh-huh. right now.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep up with the 4 or 5 really good friends that I keep in contact with. And so teenagers have this different worldview because they're surrounded by people. They talk to people all the time who are different from them, mm-hmm. but also are connected in different ways. Like, I love that she brought, she always kind of drifts back to social media, and she mm-hmm. brought that back in of, we can use that to, they can use that to connect with people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important that they, have the opportunity. And maybe as adults, that's something we can be a little more intentional about. Not that you have to go sit in a school cafeteria or make friends with everyone that's around you. But, like I said earlier at the beginning of this podcast, there are some things that as Sarah was talking, I'm like, maybe I need to be more intentional about that too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think as adults too, we have the opportunity to remind our students, like, it's okay to do that. Like, mm-hmm. you know, maybe you have a student who is a little more shy by nature, or isn't wanting to branch out, that, you know, hey, it's, you got a lot of different people at your school, and, you know, what would it look like to be friends with a kid who, no one sits with at lunch, you know, what's their story? Why are they in that position? You know,
right.
The ESL kids who are from a different country and don't speak very much English and are probably pretty scared about being there. You know, what would it look like to go and learn about them, where they're from, what they do, you know, and, that's just, even in college, that starts to funnel down mm-hmm. your friend group. But in high school, that's a different story. You really have a lot of opportunities there. And then she also talked about the courage to change the world and these big, crazy ideas that teenagers come up with and get passionate about and actually believe they can do something about it.
Exactly. And I think as adults, it's so easy when I hear teenagers even talk about like what they want to be when they grow up in these huge, lofty dreams to be like, well, you know, that's hard and you've got to go to school for 4 years, and then you got to get a medical degree, and then that's not my place.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think as adults, we need to remember they're not jaded like us mm-hmm. yet, and mm-hmm. that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not our role to say, okay, here's a reality check. Maybe our role is to say, go do it.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to support you, and I'd love to see how you're going to go change the world. I'd love to see how you're going to be a doctor and cure a disease someday. Go do it.
Mm-hmm.
And be there for them and encourage them. And I think that's something that adults, it's easier sometimes for us to look at them and be like, that's not possible.
Right. And Mark Matlock last season talked about this in church context a lot, about the missional imagination of teenagers, how mm-hmm. just incorporating them. And so, you know, if you are someone who works for a church or an organization that involves teenagers, even like a school, maybe finding ways to throw ideas against teenagers, say, what do you think about this? What would you do differently? All these adult run institutions probably need the fresh perspective of a teenager, to see, are we looking at this from a jaded point of view?
Right.
What could we do, that would, you know, include that? So I think there's a lot of positives we as adults can take from that, to help teenagers.
Hey everyone, this is Carly, and I'm here with Josh Hardcastle, one of our facilitators. And so Josh, why don't you start off by just telling us a little bit about the groups that you've done and maybe even how long you've been doing groups with Teen Life?
Yeah, so I've been doing groups for about 3 years now, and I've done middle school, I've done mostly high school, and the groups that I ran were all guy groups, freshmen to seniors. And I guess that's it for.
That's awesome. And so to kick kind of these questions off, how does leading a support group impact your ministry?
Yeah, I think it helps me be more relational. You know, when you're forced to sit in a group of people for about 45 minutes to an hour, and they don't really want to be there for most of the time. You kind of have to learn how to ask good questions and good follow-up questions. You have to learn how to be good at pulling things out and just really being able to lead a group of teenagers through a conversation. And so just being able to do that in that setting translates well over into a ministry setting as well.
Right. And what do you think is one of the biggest benefits that teenagers can gain from being in one of these support groups?
I think they develop a sense of community, especially with kids that don't really feel like they have a place to belong. You know, they know that every single week there's going to be a room with an adult that they have seen and talked to before, that they can come and just share what's going on in their world without fear of judgment. And they just know that that person is going to care for them and invest in them. And even the group will begin to invest in each other. There's one story of one of the groups that I was running that one of the girls had just completed a year of being drug free, and she invited her whole group out to celebrate with her. And that group really began to click and began to bond more with each other. And then at the very end of that group, of the 8 weeks that we were together, another girl mentioned that she it had been a year since she had tried to commit suicide, but she hadn't tried to do it again, or she hadn't been cutting, and she wanted to celebrate that, but her parents weren't necessarily wanting to celebrate that. And so one of the girls and the rest of the group, they all spoke up and said, well, why don't we celebrate that with you? And so it was really cool to see how they came together to celebrate with each other. And at the beginning of this group, none of these kids knew who the other kids were. And so it was neat to see them kind of rally around each other.
The Stay Calm, Don't Panic podcast is produced by Teen Life. Your hosts are Chris Roby and Carly Duke. If you want to check out today's notes, resources, and music, please visit our website at don'tpanicpodcast.org. Or you can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Don't Panic Talk. Now here's a word from our sponsor, Lubbock Christian University.
This is the university for us, the thoughtfully engaged. For those who pursue wisdom so that they can better serve the community. For the minds that strive to make a difference. This has always been the university for those who seek a truly transformative education. This is the university for you. Lubbock Christian University.